From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with a local and statewide news update. Alaska tribal governments and organizations are asking the state of Alaska to withdraw a lawsuit filed recently in federal court. The lawsuit alleges the Federal Office of Subsistence Management overstepped its authority when it granted the organized Village of Cake a special hunting action during the pandemic. Richard Peterson is the president of Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He says he wasn't surprised by the state's lawsuit, but he was disappointed.
I think our state should have better things to do right now than sue its own people during a time of the pandemic.
Over the summer, the federal office granted Cake's request. The community was able to harvest up to 2 moose and 5 male Sitka black-tailed deer, but the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner didn't think that was warranted. A state emergency command unit deemed there wasn't a food security issue. However, Cake's tribal president maintained it wasn't just about food scarcity, it was about the health of village elders and having access to culturally nourishing food during the pandemic. The joint statement issued by President Peterson and other tribal leaders calls the state's lawsuit, quote, a disgraceful continuation of outdated, exclusionary, racist management practices.
They should be working with us. They should have been applauding a community, a tribe, providing for its community during this time.
In an emailed statement, the Alaska Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang said, quote, the state of Alaska is not opposed to the indigenous way of life of Native Alaskans, end quote. The agency will continue to pursue the lawsuit because they believe recent decisions are illegal under federal policy. According to the Federal Office of Subsistence Management, 12 special action hunting or fishing requests have been made across Alaska since the start of the pandemic. Alaska's ballot measure 1 is shaping up to be a big fight. The Citizens Initiative seeks to increase the production tax on Alaska's 3 biggest oil fields, all on the North Slope. Proponents say it will help address the looming budget deficit and give Alaskans what they call a fair share in oil profits. But opponents, backed by oil companies, say the plan will drive investment away and that higher taxes are bad for business. Corin Smith with KFSK in Petersburg talked with both campaigns and has this report.
Supporters of Alaska's ballot measure 1 are calling it the Fair Share Act and see it as Alaskans getting a fair deal in profits from the oil industry. Robin Brenna is an Anchorage attorney and chairs the Fair Share campaign.
We need more of our oil wealth to stay in Alaska. We need our fair share of oil to stay in Alaska. And if it does, it'll make a huge difference.
Opponents say raising taxes will dissuade oil companies from investing in Alaska and cause oil jobs to be lost. Bill Corbis is a former Alaska Revenue Commissioner and a member of an opposition group called Keep Alaska Competitive.
We see this as discouraging investment, therefore revenues to the state of Alaska falling off.
As written, Ballot Measure 1 seeks to bolster oil tax revenues for the state by taxing its 3 biggest, highly profitable oil fields on the North Slope, Alpine, Kuparuk, and Prudhoe Bay. If passed, it would raise the tax from 4% to 10% on the gross value of Alaska's crude oil up to $50 per barrel, with a slight increase as prices rise beyond that. The initiative would also eliminate tax credits to those big 3 fields and require companies' tax filings to the Alaska Department of Revenue be made public so that people can see how those fields are performing. Brenna himself is one of the architects of the ballot measure and sees the transparency piece as crucial.
I don't know about you, but if I'm in business with somebody like we are in business with these producers and they're producing our oil from our land, we should have the right to know what the revenues, costs, and profits are associated with each field.
The Yes on One campaign estimates new revenues could be over $1 billion a year, even with oil prices fluctuating. Though the tax revenues could not be directed into any specific fund, like the Alaska Permanent Dividend Fund, for example, they say it would help the mounting budget deficit and help pay some of Alaska's bills.
PFDs are a third of what they should be. We've had massive cuts to essential services. The ferry system in southeast Alaska doesn't even reliably provide service anymore.
Opponents of Measure 1 agree the budget deficit is a problem, but they say current oil revenues are enough. Like royalties and other taxes, which added up to roughly $2.6 billion last year, according to the Department of Revenue. Alaskans shouldn't risk oil investors fleeing and without that investment, long-term oil production falling, says Corbis, the former revenue commissioner.
If this initiative passes, our total government take will be much higher than our competitors. So why would the oil companies not invest where the tax regime is much less than Alaska? And that's what our real concern is.
But the Fair Share campaign says there's no guarantee that companies like ConocoPhillips will make those investments in the North Slope rather than collect oil revenues and pay them out to executives and shareholders. ConocoPhillips is also a major donor to the largest opposition campaign, One Alaska, which has raised nearly $10 million to defeat the tax initiative. It's one of the most expensive ballot campaigns in Alaska state history. KFSK inquired with One Alaska numerous times by email and phone to discuss campaign finance, but they did not return requests for comment. Keep Alaska Competitive has not filed any campaign finance disclosures this year and would not answer questions about One Alaska's funding. The Fair Share campaign has raised more than $650,000, according to state filings, with about half coming from Brenna himself. Alaskans will vote on ballot measure 1, the North Slope Oil Tax Initiative, on November 3rd. In Petersburg, I'm Corinne Smith.
Postmaster General Luis DeJoy says he's considering cutting Alaska's bypass mail program to save money.
Take the Alaska bypass plan discussion. That's an item on the table. That's an unfunded mandate. It costs us like $500 million a year. And if I'm not saying it's what I asked for is all the unfunded mandates. Right. That's a way for us to get healthy. Pay something for the unfunded mandates.
DeJoy spoke this morning to the Senate Homeland Security Committee. Bypass mail is a program that has subsidized cargo shipments to rural Alaska since 1972. It allows delivery of everything from lumber to lettuce to small communities at low rates. The shipments bypass all postal facilities, but the airlines are paid by the Postal Service. Alaska's congressional delegation says the program is vital to sustaining life in rural Alaska. DeJoy says he's looking at hundreds of items to cut costs. Two Alaska Airlines employees who work at the Juneau Airport tested positive for COVID-19 in early August. That's according to the workers' union that represents the company's ground employees. But accounts differ on how many people may have been exposed to the virus. In a statement, the company said only one employee was told to isolate and monitor for symptoms because they had close contact with their coworker who tested positive. The airline says both employees had limited contact with the public and can now return to work. In addition, the airline refers to an unspecified number of other employees who were required to stay home because of possible exposure outside of the workplace. They say many of those employees are now being allowed to return to work. But an Alaska Airlines employee in Juneau says as many as 9 other people were also exposed and continued working for several days after. The person who does not want to be publicly identified because they fear retaliation says a ramp agent tested positive after attending a wedding on August 1st. They say as many as 7 additional ramp workers and 2 customer service agents were also at the wedding, and those employees were later put on emergency leave as they awaited their own test results. The airline says they have protocols in place and have provided equipment and supplies for employees to protect themselves and sanitize their work areas. They ask that any employee stay home and call their healthcare provider if they develop symptoms. a spokesperson for the employees' union, Jonathan Battaglia, declined to answer questions. In a short statement, he wrote, quote, "Proper protocols are being followed to ensure that other employees who had contact with them are quarantined in accordance with CDC guidelines as a precaution." This is KTOO News.